Well, Black Friday is over. Some of you survived. Some of you have some war wounds, I'm sure. Some of you didn't even get out. Some of you may not even know what Black Friday is. But it is, in the American culture, next to Halloween, the one marker that tells us Christmas is almost here. It seems like Christmas gets earlier and earlier every year. I'm expecting next year that at least Hobby Lobby will have Christmas trees out with their 4th of July decorations. And in a certain way, that's really exciting because this season traditionally is known as Advent season. And Advent means an anticipation of coming. And that's what we're doing, right? We're anticipating the arrival of this baby. Now, this last week, my sister-in-law had a baby. They had a little baby boy, 9.5 pounds. They give birth to toddlers, I think. And I'm excited for them, but I'm sad for myself and my family because we were just there in Virginia last week. They live in Virginia, and we were there last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we kept, you know, coaxing the baby, talking to her belly, like, come on out. We were anticipating this. This was an exciting event for us, and we weren't there. And I think about Christmas, and I think about this anticipation that we have of Jesus Christ coming, this baby. For those of us who've had the blessing of having children and knowing that moment when that does arrive and that celebration. But the anticipation, this Advent season began long before there was a star in the sky, long before angels sang to shepherds. It was thousands of years before, anticipating the arrival of our Savior. I've entitled this series, A Scarlet Christmas. It's a story of salvation. And what I hope to show over the next few weeks leading up into Christmas morning is this scarlet cord of salvation that God has wove through the Old Testament leading up to the arrival of His Son, Jesus. And so if you have your Bibles, and turn with me to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, we begin with the story of Rahab. Now, many of you may know this story, some of you may not. Just to give us a context of when this story takes place, the Israelites had been enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years. Moses leads them out. And for 40 years, they wander the desert. Finally, God says it's time to go in and claim your promised land. Moses dies, and a new leader is appointed, Joshua. And so Joshua says, it's time. God has given us the green light. Let's go in and take our land. And so we begin with chapter 2, Joshua anticipating the taking of the promised land. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies from Shittim. Go over there to the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered into the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy on the land. So the king of Jericho sent his message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered into your house, because they have come to spy on our whole land. But the woman had taken the 2 men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men did come, but I did not know where they had come from, and at dusk it was time for us to close the city gate, and they left. I don't know which way they went. Why don't you go after them quickly? You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax that she laid out on the roof. So the men sent out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads from Jordan. And as soon as her pursuers had gone, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down the night, she went up to the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that his great fear has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melted in fear because of you. We have heard of how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. For when you came out of Egypt and what he did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above all the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by my Lord, swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare our lives, my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will truly treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us this land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was on the part of the city wall. She said to them, go into the hills, the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourself there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. Now the men had said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother and brothers and your whole family into the house. If any of them go outside of the house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in your house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. The Israelites were looking to take the land that God had given them. And these men, they were caught. They were found out. But there was salvation. There was a means of escape from certain death or destruction. And it was through this woman, Rahab. Now, Rahab did as she promised. She didn't tell anybody about their actions. And when they came back, we read in Joshua 6, verse 17, the city and all that in it was devoted to the Lord. This is speaking of Jericho. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who were with her in the house will be spared because she hid the spies we sent. She tied the scarlet cord and they knew. And she was the means of salvation for her family. Her brothers, her sisters, her mom, her dad, they were able to be saved because of her. The scarlet cord of salvation. Now, you may be asking what this story has to do with Christmas. There's a couple of things, but one very interesting, because this cord starts here and goes on all the way till the night of the manger. You see, Rahab, look at this next slide. Rahab married one of the Israelites who came in and conquered Jericho. And she gave birth to a son named Boaz. Now, you may recognize that name, Boaz, as the kinsman redeemer in the story of Ruth. And if you haven't read the story of Ruth, it's only a short couple of chapter book in the Old Testament. It's a beautiful picture of redemption. But Boaz and Ruth had a son, Obed. And Obed had a son named Jesse. And Jesse had many sons, but his youngest son, we all know, is King David. And on down the line, until a night in a manger, and a little boy was born by the name of Jesus. Rahab represents, not only was she a salvation for these two spies, not only was she a salvation for her family, but through her came the salvation of the world. Jesus, the true scarlet thread, the cord that we can cling to, that marks us as a safe haven. This is the place where we can go. When the wrath of God is poured out, when judgment comes, we may cling to that cord and cling to Him. And if we are in His house, as His family, we will be spared. That is the Christmas story. The story of salvation. A couple of action steps that I believe we can learn from Rahab. She was celebrated later on by the New Testament writers. In Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter, the hall of fame of those who had great faith, it is said this: by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were unbelieving. Salvation comes first and foremost by faith. Now, if we look at the story of Rahab, it's interesting. When the spies arrive, she tells them, "I know that the Lord has given you this land." She has mentioned that they have already heard about these people. Now, if you know of a group of about a million people wandering around the desert, I'm sure the neighbors noticed, right? And they probably had heard some things about these people. I mean, they're crazy. They go in circles out in the desert like they don't know where they're going. They eat nothing but this bread stuff that falls out of the sky. And they follow this unseen God. But when God tells them to move, and they moved into the land, and the people saw what God can do. And that's who it was, right? It wasn't the Israelites. Yes, the Israelites had to carry out the actions of God's will. Yes, they had to go into the land. You know, the story of Jericho that precedes the fall before they go in and they take this city, most of us know the story, but in case you don't know or not familiar with the children's song, Jericho was a city that says that was so well fortified that they used to hold chariot races on top of the wall. It says that her house was in the wall. This wasn't like they just had like a little fence up, or maybe like something we see some castles, like a medieval castle, maybe a few feet thick. This is a city surrounded by a city. This was Jericho. And what the people of Israel did was by faith. They walked and marched for 7 days, and on the seventh day they blew the trumpets, and it says God caused the walls to come down. And I don't know if Rahab didn't have that insight exactly what was going to happen, but she knew their God, because she said, "Your Lord and what He does puts fear in our people. Our hearts melt." They were so scared, the king is so scared, that only two of them was in the town, and he calls an all-out red alert, find these guys. I share that because I want us to have a picture here. When we talk about salvation, this isn't skin of our teeth, "Oh, we just got by, thank goodness." We have a powerful Heavenly Father. And the fear of Him should cause our hearts to melt, not because we are afraid of Him, but because we are in awe of Him and we are so thankful and secure in His leadership. And it requires us to have faith. It was by faith that Rahab welcomed the spies, protected the spies. And she was saved and her family as well. The second action in salvation is for us to take a step of action and belief. Now we say believe, right? We use this word in our English language, and it is so weak. We believe in a lot of stuff. But true belief is an action verb. It is a belief meaning I trust it. If I believe in this, if I was on top of a skyscraper and there was a beam, and I said, I believe I can walk on that, but stayed in the elevator, is that belief? No. It is that step out, putting myself onto and trusting that. Now, you guys all believe that when you came in here today, you could sit down in that chair and it would hold you up. Aren't you glad your belief was true? Have you ever sat on a chair, though, and your belief was not true? Or have you ever believed that there was a chair there when it really wasn't? We have belief in stuff all the time. But true belief is when we take action with it. We don't just talk about it. We take action with it. In James 2, James is writing, talking about faith in action. Many of us know that famous passage, you know, faith without works is dead. Show me your faith and I'll show you mine, and whoop-de-doo until I tell you I actually did something with it. And James cites back to Rahab in chapter 2, verse 25, and says, in the same way, speaking of those who have faith but take action with it, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? She didn't just believe, have faith, and out of fear and awe struck of this God, she believed and took action. She hung everything on this. Because if they had failed, if they had been caught, right next to those two spies, who would be strung up? Her, probably her family, the very ones she was trying to save. But she hung it all on that belief, that faith, that your Lord, your God is powerful and mighty, and he will come in, and I trust and believe you will have the day. Now, in our own world, we have a lot of things that we hang our trust on, don't we? One of the things that we trust in is our bank accounts. And we trust in them until, and it's always brought up at this time of year, someone gets that little number on that plastic card you carry in your wallet, and then you get the bill, you get the call from the bank. Mr. Davis, have you recently taken a trip to Taiwan? No. Have you been recently buying things from, Australia? No. Did you order 60 different bottles of cologne? No. I'm telling you these because these are conversations I've had in the last year. Honest to goodness, true story. And what happens in that moment? That little thing that you had trust in, represented by that little plastic card, which supposedly is backed up by this mighty bank, you feel violated, don't you? If you've ever had that happen, you wonder, what can I really truly put my trust in? Well, she, Rahab, was putting her trust in a God she had not yet met, but she had heard about. She knew exactly what she was doing because he did take the day and he does bring salvation. And we can trust in him. That same God is available to us today. That same God came in the form of a little baby that we celebrate every December. He is a God that we can trust in, that we can have faith in, but we must take action and we have to stand and believe, not just with our hearts and our mind, but with our mouth and our hands and our feet, and take action to do stuff. Now, all across the United States in the last few weeks, you've seen lots of different things that have happened. The fires in Gatlinburg, attacks on Ohio State campus, shootings in the streets. And I've seen in almost every one of those stories of some person who stepped up and did things that were heroic or took actions that saved lives. And guys, that's what the church is supposed to be. Now, I know there's other groups, but I'll just single out Franklin Graham's Samaritan Purse. I'm always amazed whenever I hear about a world tragedy. And those guys, I see on his website and his social media sites that they are there. And they're going in and they're sharing, yes, water and food and blankets, but more importantly, they're sharing hope of Jesus Christ. Guys, that's what we're supposed to be. We are supposed to be Rahabs. God, we should have this giant cord hanging out the window of our church, and the people driving by should be able to just hang on to it and say, this is our hope. This is the mark. This is a place of salvation and safety. When the day comes and tragedy comes and horrific things comes, this is the harbor of safety. This is the place where we can go and find salvation. Too often we are seen as the place of condemnation, of judgment, a place of bigotry, of hatred. That is not at all what God wants us to be. People should see us as a hope, a place of love, a place where they can meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Rahab had faith, and Rahab had action. Paul writes this very same thing for us who are believers in Jesus in Romans chapter 10. Many of you know these verses. Let's look at them again. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. If you declare with your mouth, in other words, take action, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, in other words, have faith, that God raised him from the dead, you will be, what's it say? Saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Guys, it's as simple as that. It's as simple as trusting in this little baby that's going to come in a few weeks, that's going to be here in a manger, that's going to be worshipped by angels and shepherds, that will one day hang on a cross. Who will be placed in a grave and whom God will raise to life again. What he asks us to do is he asks us to have faith in that. He asks us to believe in that. We have an awesome, awesome privilege to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and through him, our Heavenly Father. But with that privilege comes a great responsibility to share this message. You see, Rahab could have just been very selfish, and she could have saved herself and herself alone. But what'd she do? She evangelized. She went to her friends and her family and she said, if you want to be saved, and I want you to be saved, come. Come. For in my house there is salvation. In this house there is salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just trust you and thank you so much. We have faith in you. We have faith that everything you say and promised will come true. We have faith that everything you ever wanted us to have in the form of joy and love and peace, that it will be made available because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, we just trust you that that scarlet cord that you started to weave long ago, that led to a manger, that led to a cross, that God, that we can cling to it and it will not disappoint. It will not fail us. We will find salvation. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Right now, I'm going to ask those who are going to be serving communion to come forward. As exciting as Christmas is, as anticipating of the arrival of this child was, it was his death and burial and resurrection that provides for us the means by which we have true salvation. And we celebrate this in the form of communion. And in just a moment, what we're going to do is we're going to pass the elements, and we ask that you just hold on to them until the end, and then we will take them together. Now, Paul writes that when we take this, we should prepare our hearts. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to pray, and I ask that everyone to bow your heads and prepare your minds and your hearts as we receive and celebrate. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, his willingness to come, his willingness to put on flesh and dwell among us, to be a part of our But God, we thank you most of all that he was willing to go to the cross and die for us, that his body was broken, that his blood was shed. And by those things, we have salvation. Freedom from sin. Freedom from judgment. Release of guilt. That we can enjoy peace. True peace. That's down inside of our souls. That carries us through every storm of life. Knowing that all is right between us and you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.